In an ever-changing world, Off Hollywood Media presents a voice of truth and inspiration, resonating a vibration of love and understanding, illuminating new paths for new directions, as we, as one, strive for higher and higher levels of consciousness, always remembering life changes. And now, your host, our MC, our master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Ciao, everyone. I am so excited to be here hosting Life Changes with you all today. Rather, I'm hosting and you all are here listening. And I'm excited to be here and excited that you are here. We have a great guest for you today, and his name is Jason Hughes. He's a tennis pro, a writer, an author, and a life coach. And he's written an interesting book, and he has an interesting story and message that we're looking forward to presenting to you all. And speaking of interesting stories, I was exercising this morning listening to a man that I find also very interesting, and I like his work very much, and that is Greg Braden. And Greg Braden reminded me that that there has been some information that was either inadvertently left out or left out on purpose of our sacred scriptures in the Judeo-Christian teachings, and maybe more specifically the Bible and maybe a couple other texts. And he said that there might have been people that didn't want us to have that information, and as a way of being able to control people. And it's really interesting because it made me think of something. I thought, you know, sometimes when people do something to, let's say, try and sabotage somebody else, if that indeed was the case, sometimes it ends up backfiring. And in this case, this is what I'm thinking. You know, sometimes when we're given the answers, it's just no fun. It's just not right. Sometimes we don't want the answers. Sometimes we want to figure it out on our own. And so, for example, when we were little, some of us played a game called Clue, C-L-U-E, Clue. And in the game, you would take cards and put them in an envelope and set them to the side. And then you would play the game with other children, trying to figure out who killed who, in what room, with what weapon. Great game for children, by the way. But we didn't know any different, and it was fun for us. But the thing is that the answers were there all the time, right next to us in a little paper envelope, not under lock and key, not in our parents' room, and there was no guard or nobody saying, don't look at that, except for ourselves. And we were the ones that put the answers there and didn't look at them throughout the whole game until the very end, when we might have figured out who it was that killed who, in what room, with what weapon, and then we looked at the answer to see if we were right or not. And why would we do that? Because I'm starting to figure out that's the game. It's the process. It's the journey. It's the experience that we had of playing. And learning from each other, learning how we can laugh about things or how we can experience who cheats and who doesn't and how we might could change the rules the next time we decide to play the game and invent things. And it was an experience. It was a process. It was a journey. It was that we were wanting. At least in our case, with my family and circle of friends, it wasn't necessarily figuring out the rule, the answers, because we could have just turned over the cards. And at least in my family or my circle of friends, whoever won, it was no big deal. So you won. It was, let's play again. And only when we got older that we started to get a little bit more competitive, that we started saying, I'm the winner of this game. Whenever we play this game, I win. So, but back to what I was saying, as children, we had the answers all along. And there were several games like that. Even if you're playing Monopoly or Life, the games, you know, there's the start, there's the finish. Why do you want to even go across the whole board? Just cut across and finish. No fun. We want to have the experience. So I wonder if it was done on purpose, or whether or not it was, and whatever purpose it was supposed to serve, if the answers, as Greg Braden was talking about, and so many people have talked about, if the answers to who we are and what we are and what we're capable of really have been written down somewhere, really are out there, and we are only now starting to figure them out, maybe this process, I'm thinking out loud here, has actually served us well in looking for them instead of just complacently standing by and saying, oh, well, we already know this, so what? No. I think we came down to have an experience. I think this is part of the experience. On this level, however, and at this juncture, knowing that the answers are there, and that maybe we have figured them out on our own, I'm ready to turn over those cards, take them out of the envelope, what have you, and look at them and see if we were right, and start living the game that we have experienced and we have won together. That's my feeling right now. I'm feeling like we've all come a long way, we've all had experiences, and that we have won. And now it's time to turn over the cards and reveal what we have won, get to the finish line and say, okay, we are ready for a whole different level. It's now a different time. The game has changed. And so I like that analogy, and it's interesting because it applies to so much in our lives, so much. When we were talking about with a friend this morning about my singing career, and how he was saying how I chose not to play that game, and how in his career he chose not to play that particular game. But we choose our games, we choose our experiences, we choose our life. And how fitting, as I'm thinking about this, that I plan to talk about this. And today, our guest is a tennis pro and trainer who trains people on a game, and a game that he considers to be quite spiritual. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome to the show Jason Hughes, who is originally from Connecticut, and he was a nationally ranked tennis player who at the age of 12 was number 3 in New England and had a very promising career in tennis ahead of him. But he had a near-death experience at the age of 16 after a traumatic car accident that he'll tell us about, I'm sure. Now he is, of course, a tennis pro, a writer, an author, a life coach. He holds a master in holistic counseling and is a holistic health life coach. Jason has appeared on television show Starting Over with life coach
Filippo, I can help you with that. Iyanla Van Sam.
Thank you very much. And yeah, so you've heard his voice. Again, welcome, Jason Hughes.
Well, Filippo, thank you very much for having me. It's really a pleasure to be here.
Well, you know, one of the reasons that we, talking amongst our team, that we wanted to have you on the show was because you're very much a regular guy. And I mean that in a great way, in the sense that you're not pretending to be anything. You don't pretend to have all the answers in the world, and you don't necessarily, you don't dress a certain way to say, I'm a spiritual guy. I mean, you're very much a sports guy. You dress like a sportsman, and you know, you're a normal, everyday person, but you are helping people experience extraordinary experiences in their lives.
Well, I appreciate you saying all of that. And quite honestly, if it were up to me, I would probably just wear a white T-shirt every day. So I think that's about as ordinary as it gets. But yet I do strive for not only myself, but helping other people kind of reach for the extraordinary. And the first thing that popped into my head when you were saying that was, you know, one thing I've tried to educate myself on and self-train myself in my own spiritual journey, and I want other people too, about when you were talking about being ordinary. I think being ordinary and being normal is no longer wearing any false social mask, if you will. And I very much walk the world with an open heart, and I have, you know, a heart-based consciousness. And I think that's where, you know, a lot of the answers lie for us. And you were just talking about that. And so I like to help people kind of take off that false social mask. So I don't try to be, I'm very real. I'm very humble. And I want other people to be the same way. And I'm not trying to be something that I'm not. I just, that's how I try to live my life and to be very real and just kind of, present to the world what God has given me, if you will.
Well, excellent, and that is why you're here, and why we one of the reasons why we like you so much. So let's start at the beginning.
Yeah, I appreciate that very much.
Well,
and
good.
I'm all for life changes and helping other people making life changes that's going to allow them to live more effectively as they see fit, you know, because that's what I've been striving to do. And I've had a lot of people help me along the way. And I learned a long time ago, having other people save my life, that we really do need each other. And we can't get through this without other people. And, you know, so that's why I've seen pain as a unity issue. And the pain that we've all been through in our lives should really be bringing us closer together, not further apart.
You know, actually, I was going to ask a question. I want to go back to your childhood, but before you do, you just struck on something that I think is really important, and I've heard so many people say the opposite of that. So many people have said to me, I think people need to come to that experience on their own, and.
Okay.
I've argued that, and as a matter of fact, was arguing that just the other day with a very close friend, saying if that person needed to come to that experience on their own, they would have been on their own coming to that experience. But they've come to you, they've come to us. They are looking for a mirror, they are looking for support. Their energy is attracted here to us. There is a reason. They're not supposed to be alone.
Right, right. Well, okay. I don't think we're ever alone, you know, quite honestly. I mean, I think, but that's part of the power that people need to learn to tap into, that really the greatest relationship you're ever going to have in this world is the one you have with yourself and whatever you choose to call your highest power or your God, or we don't even need to use those words. I don't think it's about what words we use. And, really just that highest relationship we can have with ourselves, and then everything external flourishes from that. So I think however we come to the experience of you know, whether we're alone, you know, physically or we have other people's help, I don't think it really, to me, it doesn't really matter. You know, I think that, you know, we need each other, and everyone deserves the love, and however they get it, whether they come to us or they're listening or whatever it is, I think it's just, you know, I just believe everyone deserves it. So I'm not sure if that's exactly what you were getting at.
And no, it isn't, but it's another good point. So both points are valid and they do meet somewhere. And let's go back to your childhood, because I find this really interesting. You were playing tennis. You had a promising career ahead of you, should you have chosen to do that. Now, you were born in a family that had some social conditions. The family was fairly well-to-do, and you were headed to a private high school is where they saw you, and private college and all that. Instead, all that came to a halt or so much of it, with a tragic car accident, right?
Right, yeah, exactly. No, I definitely came from a loving family, but, you know, really, I think being raised in Connecticut and in America, yes, I was blessed to have a path that was practically paved if I really wanted it. If I really just stayed going the way everyone else was going and was socially conditioned to go, I probably would have achieved what a lot of us call the American dream, and I would have gone to college and just found, you know, any old job and manifested, you know, probably a good career, but it really, I don't think, would have been fulfilling me in meaningful ways. So it was definitely the near-death experience and my car accident at the age of 16 that really shifted my consciousness and really allowed me to start questioning everything I had learned and really everything I was seeing in society, because it, so much of it seemed very fear-based, and I, because my consciousness had been shifted, I started to approach life a bit differently. Oh, quite a bit differently. I think that's what the spiritual journey does for all of us. It can be very powerful.
I agree, and so many of us have had tragic experiences in our life, and we have had things, emotional issues and whatnot, for us to come to these learnings. Wouldn't you like to think that there's a way that we could help people not have to have that and yet achieve what we've come to achieve?
Yeah, oh, absolutely, absolutely. And you know, I often ask people, you know, I pose the question like, or I say, don't wait for something bad to happen before you start to learn about this stuff or you start to tap into the spiritual journey. And your wake-up call does not have to be a traumatic event like I experienced. And I've had other wake-up calls that were just a little blip of a thought or a little epiphany that made all the difference in the world. So I think people are starting to figure that out, that it doesn't need to be something deeply traumatic or painful. It really, you know, we all have so many choices that we make on any given day. And I think people are starting to approach just like even simple choices in a different way. And they're getting this in a different way than say a traumatic event. So I think people are, definitely getting it just on daily occurrences that can happen in our lives. So,
you know, Jason, I'm having the experience of as a life coach as well, and as the host of this show and the live events, we meet so many people and I feel like saying to them, you can get this now. Please don't wait for something tragic to happen, because something will happen, because this is the time to get it. There's something happening where there's a quickening. We call it the shift or the, you know, the end of ages or whatever you want to call it, apocalypse, right, and all of that. There's something happening. So if you get it now with my words or your words or some way, or a light experience, an epiphany, you don't have to have a tragic moment like you're saying.
Right. No, exactly. And I think, you know, so many people are, and there's great books out right now about the power of now, and there's a lot of discussion going on right now about the present moment and present moment awareness, and because really all we have is this day, and bring it down even further, all we really have is this now moment, this eternal now moment, and, you know, and I think people are starting to realize that, and they're starting to tap into something different to make better use of the present moment, because I'm a big fan of asking questions, and I'll ask people, you know, what is the best day of your life? And so many more people today are answering the question, today is the best day of my life, as opposed to, you know, I think a lot of people still will jump to the past or even go to the future to a day that hasn't even happened yet. And I think more and more people are starting to realize that, you know, really all the power that we have, the true power that we have, is right now. And people, I think more and more people are really starting to live for the day. And I see it more and more in the world. But I happen to see